Introduction. Langston Hughes was, for some time, a reluctant autobiographer. Although he published The Big C in 1940, when he was only 38, he was first asked seriously to write such a work when he was just past 23 in 1925. To help his mentor Carl van Vechten with his introduction to Hughes's first book of poetry, The Weary Blues, 1926, Hughes had sent L'Histoire de ma vie, a brief but dazzling essay that set off a brainstorm in van Vechten. Yes, the publisher Alfred A. Knopf, who was about to bring out Hughes's first book of poems, and he completely agreed Hughes should do an autobiography at once. But Hughes did not like the idea. "I hate to think backwards," he explained. "It isn't amusing. I am still too much enmeshed in the effects of my young life to write clearly about it. I haven't escaped into serenity and grown old yet. I wish I could. What moron ever wrote those lines about carrying me back to the scenes of my childhood?" By 1939, when he sat down at last to write his autobiography, he was presumably no longer so enmeshed in the effects of my young life that he could not write clearly about it. Moreover, he was no longer so young. After The Weary Blues had come another volume of verse, Fine Clothes to the Jew in 1927, then a novel, Not Without Laughter, 1930, a collection of stories, The Ways of White Folks, 1934, a collection of radical verse, A New Song, 1938, and a long-running Broadway play, Mulatto, 1935, in addition to other produced plays and lesser publications. More important, by the time the adult mask, so carefully constructed to conceal the effects of my young life, was firmly in place. In 1939, Langston Hughes was internationally known as a leftist radical, a proudly racial poet, and a daring world traveler who had spent a year in the USSR, then come home via China and Japan. Nevertheless, some friends saw a puzzle in his personality. At one level, Langston was the ever-smiling, often-laughing, boon companion. At another, he was unfathomable. One fictional portrait, drawn in the 1920s by the black novelist Wallace Thurman, had him as the most closed-mouthed and cagey individual the narrator had ever encountered when it came to personal matters. He fended off every attempt to probe his inner self and did this with such an unconscious and naive air that the prober soon came to one of two conclusions. Either Hughes had no depth whatsoever, or else he was too deep for plumbing by ordinary mortals. The German intellectual Arthur Kessler, who had roamed with him in Central Asia during several weeks in 1932, would report that behind the warm smile of his dark eyes, there was a grave dignity and a polite reserve which communicated itself at once. He was very likable and easy to get on with, but at the same time one felt an impenetrable, elusive remoteness which warded off all undue familiarity. On the surface, the purpose of autobiography is to reveal. On the other hand, it is a commonplace that significant autobiographies begin under unconscious orders from the autobiographer. What were Hughes's orders, insofar as we can guess them? Two, perhaps, were more important than all others. First, Hughes, who depended almost desperately on the smiling surface he offered to the world, had to preserve that face even as he expressed as an artist some intimation of psychological depth that could come only from the recitation of varied and trying experiences, in short, from the revelation of conflict and unhappiness. Second, and more telling, Hughes, who for certain intimate reasons craved the affection and regard of blacks to an extent shared by perhaps no other important black writer, had to compose a book that would speak not only to whites who published and bought books, who made books possible, but also to blacks. And yet the message of a black writer to whites and the message from the same writer to blacks are often not only different, but contradictory. His loving sense of a black audience led to problems from the start. When Blanche Knopf read the first draft of The Big